Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Doctors recommend that women undergo a variety of health screenings while they're pregnant. Among those is a test for GBS, Group B Streptococcus.
GBS is a relative of the bacteria that causes strep throat. It's found naturally in up to 30% of adult women and is only considered a risk during childbirth when it can infect a newborn. Women who test positive are given antibiotics to reduce the chance of transmission to their baby.
Dr. Lisa Hansen wants to reduce the incidence of Group B strep in women and the need for antibiotic use during labor. Hansen, who's a nursing professor at Marquette University, received a grant from the National Institutes of Health to study whether probiotics might make a difference.
For this month's Fit for You, Dr. Hansen joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk more about Group B strep, her work, and her concerns about how GBS is currently treated.
It's always been an issue in the care of women in modern maternity care, but in 2010, the Center for Disease Control changed their recommendations for how Group B strep was managed during pregnancy. And the real goal is to prevent early onset Group B strep disease in newborns. And the real issue is this can affect not only sick premature babies, but it can affect normal newborns. So in 2010, the Center for Disease Control recommended that all pregnant women be screened 1 month before birth or at 36 weeks of pregnancy around that time. And if the screening test was positive, indicating colonization with Group B strep, that woman should receive intravenous antibiotics during labor and birth.
To reduce the potential of passing it on to the child during birth.
Absolutely.
Okay. And with the commonality of Group B strep, is there any group of women in particular that are at higher risk of having this?
Most of the literature suggests that African American women are colonized at a higher rate. So, for example, in one population that I'm aware of where I'm going to conduct my research, one of the clinics that kept the statistics had a 30% rate, whereas nationally, overall, you would see more like a 20% rate of colonization. Certain populations in the literature you read from around the world have even lower rates. And so you'll see variations internationally in how this issue is handled.
So what are the side effects of having Group B strep for both mothers and infants? Like, since you don't get tested for it until before, you know, delivery, are there really any side effects that mothers are feeling up to that point? Or does the test let them know you actually have this?
That's a great question. One of the ways we sometimes capture women that tend to be heavier colonizers of Group B strep is they'll actually get a urinary tract infection, more commonly called a bladder infection, during pregnancy. And we can actually see on the test result that the causative organism is Group B strep. So what's interesting about those women is actually, since they're considered heavier colonizers, we don't even test them at the end of the pregnancy. We just treat them in labor because we think their baby is more at risk from having early onset disease. The other women that are considered heavier colonizers are those that have given birth to a baby that was affected by early onset Group B strep. They're also considered heavier colonizers and would just be treated during labor with a subsequent baby. What's interesting is if a woman gives birth by cesarean, her baby is not going to get exposed to the Group B strep organism because it is really transferred during normal birth. For babies, if they are colonized with Group B strep at the time of birth, they can get a very serious infection, so they'll have what's called sepsis. And newborns express sepsis in very different ways. So they don't get a fever like an adult does, but they'll have trouble with their adaptation to extrauterine life. They'll become sick quite quickly. And we're trying to prevent that happening by the IV antibiotics in labor. So it's a very good strategy. It's reduced Group B strep early onset disease very much, but there still is a little bit of residual disease. So our goal is to try to help even reduce that residual even more.
In conjunction with the IV treatment?
Yeah.
Okay.
And And the thing for women is group B strep probably causes some postpartum infections. Sometimes we can identify that, sometimes we don't know. So probably some implications in especially women who've had surgery, like a cesarean birth. Potentially, group B strep could be a factor in those infections.
So with women getting tested, I assume maybe the first time they hear about it is when they are pregnant for the first time and say, okay, you need this test at this point. But do you find that in your research and what you've done so far is that most women maybe have heard nothing about it or even less on how to prevent it?
Yes, I would say that's absolutely the case. And we're finding that fewer women and couples are attending childbirth classes. And so really, they're getting their prenatal education from their prenatal provider. And so it is a topic that generally won't come up until the time of testing, which will be generally, you know, 34, 36 weeks, somewhere at the end of pregnancy.
Do you think that this conversation needs to be changed by healthcare providers in order to bring greater awareness? Would most women believe that it's luck of the draw whether I get this group B strep or not?
Well, I think until we have an effective preventatives approach, I'm not sure that conversation would happen earlier. There's so many topics to cover during pregnancy that we kind of have to parcel them out into bites that are more sort of manageable for the woman and the provider. So right now, we don't have an effective preventative approach. We would love to have one, and that's what is the aim of my research.
Right. So what drew you to researching this specific area of pregnancy? Because I imagine in midwifery and nursing, you have a plethora of things to research and to tackle. So why group B strep?
I was captivated by a conversation with a very well-respected certified nurse midwife who's from the Madison area, and she has a home birth practice. Now, I, as a nurse midwife practicing for almost 30 years, always practiced in hospitals, which is more common. Most nurse midwives in the state of Wisconsin and nationally do hospital-based births. She had, in her home birth practice, had used the strategy of providing oral probiotics to her pregnant women and telling them to start the probiotics during pregnancy to prevent group B strep colonization. And it just struck a chord with me that it was sort of a brilliant idea to do primary prevention. As a nurse midwife, one of the challenges is that it takes a normal birth and makes it seem somehow abnormal because the woman who in midwifery care would often be out of bed, walking around, maybe eating and drinking, getting in the tub for comfort, is now strapped to an IV pole, receiving antibiotics every 4 hours to prevent a very important preventive strategy, but it's still making up to 30% of women have IV antibiotics in labor. And we all know that antibiotic overexposure is a national crisis. It's leading to multiple problems, including resistant organisms, other infections like yeast, candida. So there's a lot of problems with antibiotic exposure, and it just seemed to make a lot of sense. So I set out searching the literature, trying to see if there was a scientific basis for this practice. And I found some glimmers, but I didn't find the science. So at that point, almost 10 years ago, I decided to make it my research agenda to try to create the science for this very innovative practice of oral probiotics during pregnancy to prevent group B strep colonization.
I feel that in recent years, the term gut health is more on the radar for everybody. And, you know, the importance of taking probiotics or getting those good cultures and probiotics from yogurt or other foods. You know, it's a relatively simple over-the-counter way to do things. How revolutionary would it be if something as simple as taking an over-the-counter, like say Florigen, for example, probiotic during pregnancy can help the birthing experience and prevent this bacteria from passing on with mother and child?
Yeah, it seems beautifully simple to the thought of doing a nutritional intervention with something that's very low risk and relatively inexpensive could prevent the need for the antibiotics. And in our research, we're careful to use the CDC guideline. So we don't propose not giving antibiotics to women that would test positive, but our goal is to reduce the colonization, reduce the number of women that need the IV antibiotics, reduce the exposure for the mother and her unborn baby, and hopefully shorten hospital stays and keep the mother and baby healthy versus the antibiotic exposure.
You touched upon overexposure to antibiotics, which of course can affect our gut health. And it seems that it's an even greater risk to affect a newborn's gut health before it's even born or at its very first moments before it gets that first food of breast milk or formula. What are the dangers of the IAP, the intravenous antibiotics that are given, and why is it harmful or potentially harmful for mothers and fetuses to undergo this while in the stress of labor?
Yeah. As most of the listeners probably know, one of the dangers of antibiotics is a serious allergic reaction called anaphylaxis. Probably most people know someone that is so allergic that they could end up very, very gravely ill. So that's one risk. Other risks are, especially for more vulnerable newborns like premature babies, they can have an increased incidence of certain infections that are considered opportunistic. One example is E. coli. So they can get very sick because their immune system can't fight an infection that an otherwise healthy newborn could fight. We're still learning about the immunologic implications of intrauterine exposures to antibiotics, and that information is still emerging. But there's some literature that's talking about the concept of prenatal programming. There's a lot of literature coming out of Scandinavia where I think people, I was just in Norway in the summer and I went combing all the grocery stores looking for probiotic beverages. And they've done some really interesting research on prenatal probiotic consumption. And it seems like fermented milk products like yogurt and kefir are more commonly used there. They're a part of the common diet, and that's certainly a part of many cultures and countries. And so establishing a life of exposure to probiotic bacteria from food is actually going to help your body prevent the adherence of bad bacteria like Group B strep. And breastfeeding is going to help a newborn colonize with healthy bacteria. And there's some suggestion in the literature that a pregnant woman taking probiotics or having exposure to probiotic-containing food might be helping program her newborn's body, in particular gastrointestinal tract, for a healthy start. It's still somewhat theoretical, but there's emerging literature on that.
Does a woman's gut flora or probiotic health change when she's pregnant?
Actually, it does change. Predominance of certain organisms changes, and we're still learning about that. So we know it changes, and all the changes seem to support, you know, the health of the baby. So there tends to be more healthy lactobacillus in the vagina of pregnant women. But of course, if that woman has been treated with antibiotics for another type of infection, say she had a sinus infection, that antibiotic could affect her vaginal health. So,
So your hypothesis is that if women who are pregnant are ingesting oral probiotics daily during their pregnancy, will help lower the risk of Group B strep colonization. So what other positive outcomes do you hope will come of this treatment? Or what's your thought right now of how the steps will go?
Well, we're doing what's called a phase two study. We did a phase one pilot. And in that pilot study, we gave the probiotic to just 10 women. And then we had 10 women that were our control group who did not receive probiotic. And we just sort of monitored how things went, how their Group B strep status followed. And what we found was the women in the probiotic group, they knew they were taking a probiotic. We called it an open label study. they said, you know what? My stomach feels really good. I don't have the pain I was having in my stomach or the problems with constipation. So we subsequently developed a research tool to capture that. So one of the goals of our research, besides reducing group B strep colonization, reducing the need for IV antibiotics in labor, is we want to see if we can capture that. We are hypothesizing that women who take probiotics are going to have reduced pregnancy GI symptoms.
So with taking probiotics and, as you mentioned, potentially improving a mother's gut health during pregnancy along with other positive outcomes, do you believe that this is the start of a shift to tackle problems in a more holistic way before leading to reactive treatment when we're in the hospitals?
That's a very good question. I think as a nurse midwife, that is part of the philosophy of the profession that I'm a part of and that I teach about at Marquette University. So we really try to work collaboratively with the woman and see what treatment options she would like to use. One of the challenges is that many practitioners work with clients that don't have resources to pay money for an over-the-counter supplement. So a strategy that was preventative, you know, it would be nice to envision a future where all people would have equal access to something like probiotics or an alternative and complementary approach.
Well, Dr. Lisa Hansen, I look forward to seeing how your research improves and the results of this grant, and I hope to have you back when those results come in.
Thank you very much.
Lisa Hansen is a professor in the College of Nursing at Marquette University and leads the school's Nursing Midwifery Program. She talked with Audrey Nowakowski for this month's Fit for You. There is more information about Hansen's work on Group B strep and probiotics at WUWM.com.